Okay, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, folks. This is Truth Versus News Incorporated. I'm Dollar Writer Producer at JD.Consultants at ProtonMail.com. This is August the 13th, and we're talking about some unlucky things that are happening in this country of ours, and it's pretty dang hot. So let's carry on, Jim. How about the Hunter Biden and everything else going on there?
Well, we got a great report here, Don. We got a former mobster revealing that the Bidens are 100% a crime family. Surprise, surprise.
Wow.
As a former cop over a prominent New York mob family, Michael Fanzisi knows a thing or two about criminal enterprises. He says the Bidens are 100% a bunch of criminals. Fanzisi says he struggles to understand how the Bidens have not been exposed. The former Italian mobster notes that when he was indicted for defrauding the government, he did so through the use of 18 shell companies open up solely to manage illegal money. Francisi notes that's exactly what the Bidens have been doing with their 20-plus shell companies, which do nothing except allow them to receive shady foreign funds. To have a president in office that doing this kind of thing basically is treasonous, in my view, Francisi added. My brother was a drug addict for 25 years. Many got to me through him because he was selling my ability to help somebody out for money, sharing his own experience as proof. Well, to reveal it, Biden had been clearly calling the shots for this criminal enterprise all alone. It's so obvious Hunter was just a conduit for his father. Watch the video to see the New York mobster expose how the Biden crime family is the most dangerous in America. We'll watch a few
Michael,
minutes.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, Glenn. Good morning. your wife knows the correct pronunciation, huh?
Oh, yeah. My wife is talk with your hands Italian. When I joined the family, every Sunday, and you couldn't understand half the family because it was all in broken English. It was a wonderful experience. But probably not the same experience you had growing up. Michael, first of all, tell me about your change in life, because you were a bad dude.
Well, yeah, Glenn. I mean, I spent over 20 years on the street, and, you know, my dad was the underboss of the Colombo family, one of the five New York mafia families. So I grew up in the life. Even though my dad initially, he didn't want me to, to be a member. He wanted me to go to school and be a doctor. And I was on that road until he drew a 50-year prison sentence for a federal conviction that he had and went off to prison in 1970. That's when things kind of changed for me. And, you know, long story short, you know, to try to help him get out of jail, my dad proposed me for membership in the life, and I became a made member. That's the term in 1975. And started on that, that road. But, long story short, I mean, I became a major target of law enforcement. I had, you know, seven indictments. I went to trial five different times. So I had a bullseye on my back from day one because my dad was that high profile figure. But, it all happened for me when I met a young girl who was, a young Christian girl. She's now my wife of 38 years. And I decided if I wanted this girl in my life, I didn't want her to put through what every other family goes through of every member of that life. And I had to make a decision whether to stay in or walk away. And obviously I chose her, and it was a life-changing experience. And that was, like I said, 38 years ago. And I ended up, doing 8 years in prison. I had a huge restitution for a plea that I took for a racketeering case. And life just changed, you know, from that point. So it was.
Let me just say there's much more, but the guy has bona fides. He knows what he's talking about. To him, it's obvious a Biden crime family is operating here. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, I think that's exactly right. He draws some comparisons. And the Republican House hearings and Monica Taylor Greene and Gates and the rest of the Republicans that are investigating this know about the 20 different shell companies that Biden has created. They ought to depose him and have a special investigator look specifically at this, like Ken Starr did in the Whitewater matter. But it is a grotesque abuse and something that Biden has been lying the whole time. the fact that the Justice Department has done nothing shows me there is no justice, there is no courts, there is no authority, therefore, in any of these agencies. They are acting as rogue mafia cover-up Gestapo units, and no American should give any credence to them, any authority to them. No American should recognize them, because they have become the criminal crime family. They're the capos. They're protecting the bosses. And Hunter Biden and his prostitutes and his money laundering from foreign sources, the engagement of China with the Communist Party or the Chinese Communist Party and Union Bank of Switzerland and part of that whole election. I mean, this whole Pandora's box needs to be completely expelled. And, you know, I think that's why, as I've said before, I think they're going to also assassinate Hunter Biden. I thought maybe Hunter Biden would commit suicide and that would generate or make it appear that he committed suicide to generate the sympathy for Biden. They're going to try and generate sympathy and martyrdom. So how do they do that? Either through suicide or even better through assassination. And then they can make Joe Biden a martyr, Hunter Biden a martyr, quietly move them somewhere and go to war against every Trump supporting, Republican. And that's their next gameplay. We've said it for over a couple years now, and it seems to be all coming to pass, just like we predicted, Jim.
Yeah, very good. Brian.
Wow.
Let's talk about character for a second. Look, prior to Joe Biden running, everybody on the left, especially everybody who studied Pizzagate, had very cringy feelings about Joe Biden, little girls. Obviously, Ashley Biden's diary put some exposure on that entire scenario, but I believe he's been part of one of the protective sort of pedophile networks, because that's how they get you. That's what Epstein was all about. That's what these Israeli forces do, this Mossad style of control, blackmail, and victory through deception sort of concept. Joe Biden, I believe, was compromised. Whoever he was compromised years and years and years ago. And as you can see, that psychopath training has been sewn into Hunter. Now, whether Hunter has a soul or not, obviously, at some point in time, he sold it. He was being groomed as an attorney to be a part of the network. He got into the network. And what happened was that he had an internal conflict that was so bad that he couldn't deal with. When a man can't stand in front of the mirror and look at himself, he tends to take drugs to forget about the fact that he has become what he hates. And, you know, that's insightful into what's been happening with Hunter. And then when I heard Ashley Biden trying to get her diary back from O'Keefe Media Group or Project Veritas, you could hear that sort of bitchy, defensive facade of power, power, cover, cover, cover. Look, when you have no character, the problem is you find yourself falling into a death spiral. And as you add power to the lack of character, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper in depravity. Now, if this guy really is the real Joe Biden, and he's this far gone, think about that sliding into straight depravity for 60 years has probably turned him into an absolute soulless monster. Now, redemption is still available, even for the worst of the worst of the worst, but there's a problem, and it says that the conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. It's other words, so bad, so difficult to redeem, so desperately rotten that there is no hope. And the problem with there being no hope is that there's no room for confession. If you can't confess your problems and deal with them in the light, they're never going to be dealt with. And that's fundamentally the character flaw that we have in Joe Biden. Obviously, he's part of a network of these same types of people. And, you know, you got to root it out. But these people have to change from the inside out or there's no hope.
Wow. Our next story, Scott, tends to...
Michael, how...
You're concerned about possibilists. I know what happened. I put it in and I forgot to save it. Listen, let's pause here. Pause, Don. Pause while I put...
Go ahead.
Scott, here's confirmation. Your concerns about setting up someone to be taking out Biden. FBI shoots, kills man who allegedly threatened him. As a leader of the country, the Secret Service keep Biden well protected from threats. They travel with him wherever he goes to ensure his safety. That, nevertheless, doesn't stop some from making threats against him. And one who allegedly did so is now dead. On Wednesday, August 9th, the FBI was executing a warrant in Provo, Utah, at his home when they encountered 74-year-old Craig DeLewin Robertson. Sources claim the suspect was armed. Special agent shot and killed the man. The Bureau hasn't made many details surrounding it public. Robertson had allegedly made a series of online threats against Biden, who was traveling to Utah, saying he was cleaning the dust off his M24 sniper rifle, breaking out his camouflage. But that wasn't the first time he drew the FBI's attention. Here's a tweet about it. And honest to God, I think that Musk made a blunder in not keeping Twitter and going to X. I think that was ridiculous.
Right.
Breaking. The FBI shot and killed a man who allegedly made threats against President Biden and the Manhattan District Attorney prosecuting former President Trump while executing a search warrant. In March, agents showed up at his house in response to several social media posts threatening the life of Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. At the time, Robertson confirmed he was the user behind the comments, that he was waiting for Bragg in a parking lot and ready to shoot him, but told the FBI statements were a dream of fantasy. His later posts began including messages to the FBI, telling them they had no idea how close their agents came to dying. Well, that was no doubt the Secret Service, according to the AP. He made threats, too, against New York Attorney General Letitia James, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, and Vice President Kamala Harris. In September 2022, authorities say posted a statement saying the time is right for a presidential assassination or two. Roberts and neighbors were very surprised to hear about his reported comments. One said there was 100% no way the elderly man, who was also overweight, could carry out the threats he made. Another friend of more than 22 years, Paul Searing, said the man's posts were on the extreme side, but he didn't think Robertson would ever act upon them. Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is a false flag. I know Brian's going to get some good information coming out about this, so we haven't heard yet. But I looked at this and I thought, again, we've said this for a couple years now. They're now sowing the seeds and setting the place for a alleged assassination of, I think it's first going to go Kamala Harris because they have to open up the vice president position and put someone in. My guess is Gavin Newsom. Then when they get Gavin Newsom in, then they can execute Joe Biden and claim, you know, this is, you know, a Trump supporter. Or I've said before, too, they may even get Zelensky standing next to him and call it a Russian situation. They're going to do the assassinations. I wouldn't be surprised if Hunter Biden also is allegedly taken out because, again, they're creating martyrdom. They're creating sympathy. They're creating animosity against the Second Amendment, animosity against Trump supporters. The MSNBC newscast indeed already has been laying the script. I watched and played the video of the news commentator woman saying a extremist president's rhetoric is now being used by other extremists. So they're already connecting Trump and his language, making it seem extremist. They're now tying it to these sort of patsies or fake individuals. And remember, it's very easy for them to claim social media posts. How many guys of 75 years of age use social media? How many of them would send messages to the FBI or the Secret Service in a angry, frantic, delusional way, knowing what we know that they always do? I think this is completely fraud. I think it's been part of an operation with FBI operatives at Facebook and FBI operatives in the FBI to create this fantasy, this false image. He's either non-existent or he was a patsy that they, you know, conveniently killed. But again, we are going into a position where they are going to assassinate Joe Biden. We've said it before. This is all a setup for a political drama to justify, and Stephen Pidgeon said this, they are going to bring in Barack Obama as the chancellor. So remember Hindenburg, I think it was in 1930, or the Kaiser brought in Hitler as a chancellor. Stephen Pidgeon said they're going to bring Barack Obama into the chancellor position. And all of this makes sense when you understand the Democrats' objective is to annihilate the Constitution, annihilate the Bill of Rights, annihilate thinking Americans, annihilate any sense of individualism, independence, patriotism. They've already been culting that with the COVID-19. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Unvaccinated shouldn't have rights. Unvaccinated should be this and that and shamed. That animosity is going to resurrect itself on, Trump supporters and their love of guns have led to the death of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. This is what they're about. We need to hunt them down and, vote Democrat forever. But even if you don't worry, because the Democrats are going to finagle and steal the election through electronic voting machines anyway. So this is the beginning of the setup for the great civil war. They think that the Republican conservatives are going to back down. I don't think they will. I think they may divorce themselves and choose their ground to defend. But the Democrats are going to go on the offensive like the Ukrainians went on the offensive against Russia. And they're going to be absolutely annihilated by every conservative Trump supporter who fights for family. Remember that conservative traditional Republicans fight for things that they cherish. The left have nothing to fight for except, their own madness. So that's the difference, Jim.
Well, it's intriguing. He talked about a presidential assassination or two, which is very, very odd, but would fit with your scenario completely. Brian, your thoughts?
Wow.
Oh, I smell a rat. I haven't officially studied this yet, and when I do, it's probably going to take me 6 or 7 hours with a few browser extensions and some ability to pull up some old archive material. But I got a tip last night via email to my company that if I do the work, I'll be able to use some facial recognition software to match a Sandy Hook player by the name of David Wheeler to this particular FBI raid. And just to give you a feel for what makes sense, this man was like a hunchback. He was like 280, 300 pounds. He walked with a cane. Very strange. Now, I think of Kathy Griffin, and I think of Madonna, and I think of all these lefties that, tried to run against Trump. And I don't see the FBI running raids on these people. Left-wing nut. They're cult members. I mean, let's just call them for what they are. They're members of a cult, and they can't think straight because they're caught up in the cult's psychology. It's sort of a mass formation psychosis, the same thing that happened with COVID. But this is the type of mindless drone that you want in your New World Order globalist army. I think it makes perfect sense that this particular event is just another sort of false flag that they've rolled on out to begin to set the stage for how Joe Biden will be taken out and replaced. It's a great theory. I don't think any of us yet have any proof that that's what's going on. But what's very interesting about it is that even with the little time that I've been able to put in it, it's scrubbed. All the conspiracy theory forums that I normally go to have been moderated and scrubbed, and this stuff's being shut down. Why? I mean, if it's real and it's legit, why scrub the hell out of it? So I smell a rat, and I think that Scott's exactly right, that this is just the pre-cognizant sort of setting up the new scenario so that people can accept the news story when it finally rolls on out. Be cautious.
And Jim, let's remind people generally about Wheeler in the Sandy Hook shooting. You know him well, but I'll just say, in my own opinion, from what I saw in the video, Wheeler, this individual had it. You're on mute, Jim. Wheeler had a brown SWAT outfit, not a black outfit. He was carrying his weapon upside down by the magazine. No one who's ever been a soldier or policeman would ever do that. And he ducked into a tent when he saw the camera was on him. And then there was a later video of the same individual with a woman on the Bill Moyers show. So this Wheeler that was on the Sandy Hook fake SWAT incident popping up now potentially is very, very suspicious. But that was one of the tells of the falsity of the Sandy Hook shooting, Jim.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Scott. I mean, he and his wife, Francine, both have acting, professional acting credits. She was a personal assistant to Maureen White, who is a lead financial money raiser for the Democrat Party. David Wheeler played two roles that day, both a grieving father, but also a SWAT team member, carrying a weapon upside down by the magazine, as you observe. No one with any familiarity with firearms would do that. Magazines are designed to be rapidly replaced. They could have fallen out, damaged his weapon. I used to supervise recruit training in San Diego with 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command. The lowest ranking recruit would have known better, but David Wheeler did not. So your points are impeccable, Scott. Don.
Yeah, real quickly, Wheeler and all the other actors there in Sandy Hook are very wealthy because they all got their homes paid for Christmas of that year.
Thanks, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we have Ron Johnson, who's a member of Congress, who's actually doing his part to expose corruption on Mornings with Maria Bartiromo. Check this out.
I mean, it's just extraordinary to me that, the government was working with social media to amplify lies and suppress truth and has been doing so repeatedly. Why couldn't the American people know that, you know, there were other alternatives to treat COVID? Why can't the American people know that there were side effects with the vaccine?
This is all pre-planned by an elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. Event 201 that occurred in late 2019 prior to the rest of us knowing about this pandemic. Again, yeah. This is very concerning in terms of what has happened, what is happening, what continues to be planned for our loss of freedom. Again, it needs to be exposed, but unfortunately, there are very few people, even in Congress, that are willing to take a look at this. They all push the vaccine. They don't want to be made aware of the fact that the vaccines might have caused injuries, might have caused death. So many people just simply don't want to admit they were wrong, and they're going to do everything right. They can to make sure that they're not proven wrong. We're up against a very powerful group of people here, Maria. But fortunately, you say, what can we do? Well, we do have reporters like yourself, like John Solomon, other people that have the courage to report the truth against the mainstream media and against the narrative. But that's the only way this is going to be solved, is we need the truth to be exposed. We need more Americans to listen to the truth, to be exposed to the truth, to pull their heads out of the sand, quite honestly, open up their eyes and understand what is happening in this country. We are going down a very dangerous path, but it's a path that is being laid out and planned by an elite group of people that want to take total control over our lives. And that's what they're doing bit by bit. They do it by increasing massive government spending, increasing the size of government, takeover of the WHO. These amendments that are coming up that are going to be voted on in 2024 on the WHO are frightening, and they really risk taking away all of our sovereignty. People have to awaken to the dangers of the moment.
Yes.
He's my candidate for Senator of the Year. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, Ron Johnson has had hearings in the Senate where he brought in military scientists and doctors and Tom Rentz, one of the attorneys, and presented how neurological disorders have risen 900% as a result of the introduction of the COVID-19 vaccine. Ron Johnson has been up front and center of getting all the statistical information from the best experts who can show the increase in infertility, the increase in spontaneous abortions, the increase of brain fog and heart myocarditis and blood clots and everything associated with this DNA-altering death jab that really, I think, needs to be weaponized, where every American who has grounds for a class action lawsuit, they certainly have grounds against any employee that ever fired them. That was one of the executive orders that we gave to Trump when we were back there back in November 2020, begging and pleading that he sign an executive order that protected Americans and said no American shall ever be forced to get a vaccine. Trump didn't do it, and it's the greatest failure of his presidency as far as I'm concerned, because how many people are dead because of it? How many Republicans are dead? How many people are going to die? All because no affirmation of people's rights were executive order produced. No shield was put in front of them. And what's happened since Trump left office? We've gone off the cliff in the massive train wreck, and this country has become ruined because of it. And we haven't even seen the darkness. I mean, this is an eclipse that's currently happening. And this COVID vaccine, this all this stuff. The other thing he mentioned was Event 201. Well, guess where he gets a lot of that stuff? The Russian slides, the Russian documents, when the Russian forces went into Ukraine, and indeed when Alexander Dugin came to Iran in 2018, he presented the evidence of the biochemical labs. I was there. I met him. I had breakfast with him. And Event 201 and the Clinton Foundation and the George Soros Foundation and the Open Society Foundation and the CIA, the USAID, the State Department, the Department of Defense, in addition to Merck, Moderna, Pfizer, CH2M, Johnson & Johnson, all of these organizations working on developing the COVID-19, virus, whatever you want to call it. This was all pre-planned. Russia had all of this and presented it to the United Nations Security Council, and France and Britain and America stopped it. This is a crime against humanity. So we can't hate the messenger, Russia, without, fully appreciating, the message that they bring, and the message and all the documents and all the proof. That didn't come out of any American source. It didn't come out of the American media. It came out of slides and materials from the Russian defense forces. And these are not things you invent, because it's got the original signatures. It's got the original documentation. It's got the original grant numbers. Everything can be directly traced to the U.S. government. The entire paper trail is U.S. government documents and executive orders and memorandums of understanding, all showing 46 biochemical labs were being produced and created and used for the development of Slavic-based DNA bioweapons, aerosolized sicknesses, all sorts of other stuff before Russia's military intervention into Ukraine. And again, it's part of this absolute lie, the Biden nonsense about how Russia's the aggressor and Russia came in and invaded and Russia stole Crimea. Even Trump's got this wrong. He's stupid when he says, well, under my watch, Russia never went into Crimea. Crimea and Luhansk and Donetsk and all of those republics declared independence. They weren't swallowed up by Russia. They declared independence because their women and children were being killed. Their language was being outlawed. They were being genocided. They were being tortured by these Western Ukrainian Nazis, who, by the way, were being amplified with methamphetamine and ecstasy and all sorts of other drugs. And that's also been put into their soldiers to do horrific crimes against the Eastern Ukrainians, the Russian people. So, I mean, this is the gift of death and debauchery that doesn't stop. Everything the United States has done in Ukraine is a crime against humanity. And I think the day is coming when all of this is going to be put forth, and you're going to see the world turn against America like we have never dreamt possible before. Jim?
Brian.
Wow.
Well, Maria Bartiromo just, her street cred just went up. Ron Johnson's street cred just went up. What, is he hanging out with a bunch of conspiracy theorists talking about Event 201? Come on, give me a break. Is he the only one left? It's just dawning on him now, you know? I appreciate Ron Johnson. When I first heard that interview, and I heard it a few days ago, I think 2 days ago I heard it for the first time, I thought, wow, all of a sudden we're getting like a little bit of play in terms of, hey, there is a network, a global cabal of conspiracists that are out there trying to protect themselves. And I was shocked to see it on a mainstream platform. I predict that Maria's career will go the way of Tucker Carlson, which, by the way, I think Tucker Carlson is working out pretty well for him. But I predict that it won't be long before before they decide to nuke Maria, shut it down, and they'll probably run operations in Wisconsin, Jim. You should pay attention to it. But they're going to need to get a guy like that out of there.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Ron Johnson. Met him a year and a half or so ago. I am very, very impressed. And Maria, too. Meanwhile, goodbye, Latina. This is all about what happened in Maui. The fire burned so hot, molten aluminum from cars ran down the street like lava. People trying to escape the heat jumped into the harbor, swam for the open ocean, reminding me of Pliny the Younger's description of the Pompeii disaster of 79 AD. In modern society, we're inclined to believe our high-tech infrastructure has advanced to the point we should no longer anticipate catastrophes like this. Consider the geography of its location, however, which makes it vulnerable. Situated on the west side of West Maui Mountains, the prevailing trade winds carry moisture from the east, but when they encounter the mountains, the water precipitates on the eastern slope. The result is the eastern slope is among the wettest places on Earth, but the western slope is extremely hot, and especially in the summer months. Maui has a monsoon climate, heavy rains in the winter, spring, dry in the summer, one of the hottest places on the island. One of my favorite surf breaks is Breakwall, right next to the Lahaina Port Harbor. My brother usually declines to join me because it's so damned hot. Here I am at Breakwall, my face armed with zinc sunscreen against the punishing sun. So in the summer, you have extremely hot and dry conditions. The historic town of Lahaina, by the way, is built almost entirely out of wood. The hillside above the town is a large expanse of dry ground. The fields were irrigated for sugarcane and pineapple, but ceased with the end of those industries. The fields have been colonized by grass that desiccates in the summer and creates fuel. Wind is a primary ingredient. Pressure system causes it to blow very hard, up to 40 miles an hour. Most importantly, there's an occasional hurricane running south of the Hawaiian island. If it brings heavy rain to the islands, it tends not to pose a fire threat. Hurricane Dora did not bring rain to Maui, but it did strike the island with 80-mile-an-hour gusts, acting like a blast furnace. When struck with an 80-mile-an-hour wind, power lines often go down. Their current can cause fires. 2018 Hurricane Lane gave Maui and Oahu a major wake-up call, burning nearly 3,000 acres, displacing dozens of homeless, destroying 21 structures. There are documented instances on Maui where public announcements of heightened fire risk have paradoxically inspired criminally disordered individuals to commit acts of arson. In other words, it was probably just a matter of time before Lahaina was destroyed by fire. While it's too early to raise suspicions and neglect, I can't help wondering if far more could have been done to prevent this disaster. When it became evident Hurricane Dory was blasting the island, I wonder if it would have made sense to shut down the power lines until the wind backed off. In recent years, California power companies have begun doing this in dry areas affected by high-velocity Santa Ana winds. Hard for me to express how saddened I am by the destruction of Lahaina, one of my favorite places on Earth. This photograph captures the magic of summer mornings and sunsets. I've often thought those summer days were some of the happiest of my life. Goodbye, Lahaina. I shall miss you. But the fact is, it appears to have sinister origin. Fact check. Were the 2023 Maui fires caused by direct energy weapons? Look at the photograph. This is Snopes now, attempting to debunk the very idea claim. The August 2023 wildfires that devastated parts of the Hawaiian island of Maui were caused by a direct energy weapon. Unfounded, according to Snopes. Deadly wildfires fueled by hot, dry, windy weather devastated part of the Hawaiian island of Maui in early 2023, killing at least 53, causing widespread damage in the historic town of Lahaina. First-person accounts and photographs confirm it. But so did rumors and conspiracy theories flourish. Borrowing a conspiracist trope that first emerged during the 2021 California wildfires, a number of accounts on social media platform X, formerly known as Twitter, as well as Instagram and Facebook, positive fires must have been started by a so-called directed energy weapon. Here's a video from the car. People are passing right in the middle of Maui in the flames, and it looks like hell. Here's Maria Orante. I know it looks familiar, like California fires, directed energy weapon, more. Since President Biden took office, we've attracted over $1 trillion of private investment in American manufacturing and industries of the future. How many hundreds of thousands or millions have let in through the border so too? The picture is a direct energy weapon used in Hawaii, taken by a Hawaiian resident. Look at that. According to Snopes, of course, mislabeled as showing a directed energy weapon is actually an oil refinery fire that took place in January 2018. That's why it has what looks like a searchlight positing up. This is ridiculous. There are many more such posts sharing the same glaring attribute of a complete lack of evidence that the fires were caused by any sort of attack. The device most often mentioned are lasers and microwaves. You may recall internet chatter about space lasers in the aftermath of the 2020 California fires, which, for example, in Paradise, destroyed all of the homes completely, including even their ceramics, while leaving the surrounding trees and bushes unscathed. The image of choice was a photograph showing what appeared to be a beam of light descending from the heavens and bursting into flame. Though the clear implication it was taken in Maui in 2023 has actually been circulating on the internet since at least January of 2018 and has nothing to do with lasers or wildfires. As Snopes reported, the photograph is one of many documented controlled burn that occurred at an Ohio oil refinery that year. The apparent beam of light is a cold weather visual phenomenon known as a light pillar. There you have it again, a light pillar. Though no official casualties of the 2023 Maui wildfire have been announced, now we know it's quite large. The weather, extreme conditions played a role aside from the routine possibility of human carelessness or arson. Sources, multiple. Did a direct energy weapon strike Michigan in 2018? Snopes dismissed. Here, flash drought, invasive grasses, wind, hurricane, and climate change fuel Maui's devastating fire. Scott, your thoughts.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to play this video. So give me screen share capability. I want to show the most important thing about this whole story is the video documented evidence of the cars on the street. So let me play this. What do you want? What is it, Don?
By the way, the mainstream media says that there was no directed energy weapons happening in Hawaii. That's what the mainstream says.
Well, that's what we were just reporting, Don.
Yeah.
Okay, let me play this again. When does steel and concrete and cars burn and the big palm trees are not burned? Where is this sort of heat created that melts cars? When there's no vegetation on the left side, you can see, and on the right side, it was commercial buildings. Let's watch this again. Look at the environment and the structures and imagine what needs to burn to generate the heat to destroy cars? Because cars don't burn. They're not made out of styrofoam. And everything around the right side of the cars there, right here, what, buildings? Looks like buildings. And they don't have this flamethrower effect. Let's just watch the physical evidence. Trees. Okay, right there, look at that road. So the road is about, what,
25-30 feet in you know, width. There's another tree with lots of leaves, little birdies in the bird nests and the tree. Oh, now we're coming back to the road. Now see how wide this road is with the cars. And every car is absolutely torched. Now there's a building, looks like cement, looks like steel. Green trees in the background. There, look at that, 40 feet wide. How could flames on the right side blow over 30 feet across the street and torch those cars like it did? That's the most important evidence to examine. The cars, the street, things that don't burn, metal that doesn't melt. Even if you have a hot grass fire or tree fire, this has to be the equivalent of a blowtorch. And the natural ingredients that are there in the car, in the buildings, in the trees, in the grass, those aren't combustible. They're not napalm. So everything tells me, just on the forensic analysis, this is an impossible natural event. It is only explainable by a directed energy weapon. Jim?
I completely agree. And a commentator mentioned to me this morning, Russia and China are aware this is done by directed energy weapons. There have been inexplicable fires occurring even in Russia. They know the U.S. is doing this using satellites, which may mean they feel an obligation to take them out.
Right? Well, China just did a story saying on RT that they've perfected their laser energy weapons. So they could have put that story out there as a deterrent from the Americans using this sort of... And the other thing to watch is, who is the investor that comes in to rebuild Lahaina? Is it Chinese money? Is
BlackRock.
There you go.
BlackRock. Stunning. Brian.
So all the fact checkers went into high gear real fast on this particular one, which is interesting because the fires are blamed on high winds. But if you go to the actual weather station right there by the fires and look at that day, August 7th, the winds are exactly the same as they are any other day, 30 miles an hour, the same as always. It's 89%. The dew point is 89. The temperature was 89. The humidity was 82%, no different than any other day. But the real thing that you need to pay attention to is that, guys, are you aware this was only one of the five different fires that broke out that morning? Mm-hmm. There's others. There was one in Kula that was announced at 12:22 a.m. There was one in Lahaina. This is the one that we're covering right now. There was one in Kihei, and there was one in Kanapali in West Maui. So a place that doesn't get a lot of fire, all of a sudden this morning they have the weather alert with the fire at 7 a.m. and everybody, what's up? We got normal weather, 32 degree winds. Now that we got these massive fires breaking out, I don't know what the answer is to this question, but they do feel a lot like the California thing. And when it comes to weather events, I want you to pay attention to what had happened in Beijing. If you can get the real story, obviously no mainstream media is going to cover it, but those floods may have killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And right now they're saying the death toll is 89 people. I've seen video of these floods in Beijing, and they were absolutely unbelievable floods. It was much worse than what I've experienced down here in Houston, even through Katrina and through all the other major events that I've seen. What happened in Beijing was just disgusting. I mean, cars right everywhere, everything. And because they didn't put... The corruption in their country is so bad that they didn't build the drainage systems properly because the contractors cut the cost to pay the bribes. And so the drainage system doesn't work properly. And then they finally get hit with a once in 140 year flood in Beijing. Well, of course, Beijing does everything it can to release all the water, flooding out all the outer areas, and trying to leave Tiananmen Square and the Forbidden City relatively unharmed, but there was nothing that could be done. I'm telling you that what happened in China was absolutely crazy compared to these stupid little fires in Hawaii that somehow all got started that morning all around.
Do you think there was any aspect of directed energy in China?
I don't know. No, you'll never know anything about what the only thing you can do in China is, like, there's a group that I follow called China Uncensored, and I try to watch an hour or two of their podcast every week just to see what the newest news is. No, that conspiracy is probably that they just had a massive weather event. But the conspiracy was that, okay, so this is what's going on there, all right? They call it the mandate of heaven. It's something that's built into their culture. And what they believe is that when the current government or when the current emperor begins to not do his job, the mandate of heaven will come in and cause a flood or a natural catastrophe that will cause the overthrow of this particular government. And what had happened in China is that these floods were so bad, the drainage was so bad, and the Chinese coverage of it was so bad, they had to stage a bunch of rescues. They had to put up walls so people couldn't see the bridges. They obviously did the whole censorship thing with all the stuff, but everything, but lots still got out. But the Chinese officials now, the people are talking about the mandate of heaven. Like, this is the event that shows that they're not taking care of us and they're not doing their job and that there's too much corruption and they need to go down. And so this is the type of situation that could result in a civil war, or at least a coup, or at least some sort of overthrow of the CCP from within.
Fascinating.
The other thing they're talking about doing in Maui is a smart city, Jim. That's something to watch. Are they annihilating the infrastructure to replace it with a Bill Gates artificial intelligence smart city? That's also...
There turned out to be a lot of wealthy investors here who are going to benefit. You know, Matthew McConaughey, Oprah Winfrey, people like this. Who are going to no doubt make, I mean, this is going to be a real estate heist. The residents of this city, this town that was mostly wooden or ancient, they've been there forever. They had long standing, but they were poor. And the real estate is of fabulous value. So I don't doubt there is an exploitation here, further transference of wealth. Meanwhile, and I find this rather fascinating, CNN hosts perplexed, Iowa voters don't trust legacy media, and then proceed to belittle and insult them. CNN host Dana Bash and John King showed contempt for voters who refused to accept the media's narrative of reality. King recently traveled to Iowa and spoke with Trump voters. He admitted the voters don't watch and don't trust CNN, implicitly criticizing him through caricature. He claimed they replaced optimism with Trump grievances and disdain of big government, with Trump's distrust of just about everything. The voters he spoke with don't support the Trump prosecutions, oppose U.S. intervention in the Ukraine war through constant military aid, and believe that President Joe Biden is probably guilty of corruption. Even during today's show, we've seen confirmation of all three of those beliefs. They are well-founded. After the segment aired on Inside Politics, Bash had the voters saddened her because in their eyes, they believe conspiracy theories. Here's a tweet from Town Hall, CNN's Dana Bash. Republicans are seeped in completely conspiratorial questions and thoughts. She says Republican voters are conspiracy theorists because they consume conservative media who don't tell them the whole truth. King used the voters' opinion on Ukraine and Biden to take a shot at them and at Tucker Carlson. When you hear the Ukraine exchange there, it's like watching the opening of an old Tucker show. He's not there anymore, but that's what it is. Unfortunately, but fortunately, can get some praise for people he met. They're good people. They raise money for the Girl Scouts. They go to church. But they believe things that would break our fact-checking machine. That's just a fact. And they don't trust us. They think we're part of the problem. And they got that right as well. Here's tweeting exactly the same message again. Speaking of fact-checking machine, of the last 12 fact checks, published by CNN's human fact-checking machine, reporter Daniel Dale, only one has been critical of Biden. The other 11 targeted Trump and Robert Kennedy Jr. One even sought to defend Hunter's sweetheart plea deal. And therein lies the great irony of Bash's reaction. While she claimed Republican voters believe media outlets that do not tell them the whole truth, without specifying, of course, which version of the truth, yours, mine, the actual truth, CNN is guilty of exactly what Bash criticizes. At least conservative media are honest about their perspective. Here's belief in conspiracies. This is back in 2016, but look how many Americans believe or are skeptical about the official account, 9/11, JFK assassination, alien encounters, global warming, plans for a one-world government, Obama's birth certificate, the origin of the AIDS virus, the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, the moon landing. And they're right to be skeptical about every one of the stories we have been told by the government, every one of which is provably false. Scott.
Everyone? Really? In America, everything you just show this is provably false in America? The free press and everything else? Sure.
Well, when Dana Bash is describing the Trump supporters, the Trump voters, the Republicans in general, yeah, they are distrusting of the media because they've got the experience and the facts and the memory. They don't forget, and they've watched and listened to the lies of the media. They've watched the media cover up the Biden fraud, fake election, cover up the manipulations that went on, cover up Hunter Biden, cover up the laptop, cover up the Chinese Russian money that came to Hunter. The media covered up for Hillary Clinton and the various computer systems and servers she had, covered up the entire 10 years, covered up and participated and created Russiagate. So the Republican voters are not just suspicious, but they have enough evidence, they have enough experience to realize that the media and people like Dana Bash and King are liars. They're traitors who've sold their soul for the 30 pieces of silver. They're inveterate liars. And really, they deserve a crime worse than death, or punishment worse than death for what they've done. They are the most grotesque, insidious domestic traitors around, and Trump has identified that. The Republicans know that. That's why they've even left Fox News. So as Brian said before, the alternative media is sharpening people's edge. It's giving them a sensitivity, a language, an understanding. It's training them how to piece a lot of this material together. And that's what the mainstream media can't stand, especially these people over the age of 50, 55, who are incapable of adjustment, and they're so stuck in their own reputation, narcissism. They think they're Hollywood super actors and moguls, and it's amazing how self-absorbed these media people are. But the American people have increasingly completely discarded them, and the only people that continue to watch CNN are the idiots, the schizophrenics, the confused, the dumb shits who don't know how to think outside of the box and are too lazy or too cowardly to think in any other way. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't even consider them Americans. I consider them parasites. Jim?
Brian?
Well, when people wake up, there's an event that takes place that is sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. And the event is something that just simply doesn't align itself with what they're experiencing or what they heard or what happened. And there's a movement out there called Walk Away, the Walk Away campaign, which is highlighting and illustrating a lot of left wingers that took all the indoctrination from the cult. Obvious now that it is the cult of academia. Anyway, I want to thank Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts for giving us the movie Conspiracy Theory. Mm-hmm. I want to thank whoever funded that, because you've done a great job making us all look like a bunch of absolutely schizophrenic lunatics. And the simple fact of the matter is now that I consider conspiracy theorists to be one of the last thinking bastions left in America. I mean, at least we're exploring alternative measures now that we know that the mainstream narrative is an absolute crock of shit. And I'm not saying we get it right every time, but we make mistakes just like any other people. We're just people operating independently without any funding, for the most part, trying to break open and figure out what's happening here in the world. And I think we're doing a pretty damn good job, because I've been in this since 2016, and I finally now have materialized in my mind answers to the questions, why do they lie? How do they pull off the events? It's coming together for me. How do they motivate all these people to get involved? How do they get the people on in place and on scene to do it? But why does it happen is, and I got to tie it back to old Bolshevik and Stalin type tactics for propagandizing and deceiving a society into believing that the cult leader's way is the highway. And they masked the cult leader as science, Dr. Fauci, I am science. And it's absolutely ridiculous. Old science was simply observation and documentation of the order of nature properly executed. Now today, science is indoctrination and academia getting rich of supposed papers and new scientific thoughts and theories that are going to fund a new wing at the institution. Science is dying, and religion, you know what? Religion is coming back right now. I've seen a lot of new studies on it.
They want to silence us because we're investigating crimes, deceit, and deception that lead back to the government, Don.
Yeah, real quickly, maybe I was right 10 years ago or so when I named this show Truth versus News Incorporated. You think so? Or the four of us, I think, are standing for something that very few other people are broadcasting.
Very good, Don. Then, meanwhile, the Illinois Supreme Court declares assault weapon ban to be constitutional. It is not. It will be rejected by the Supreme Court, but who knows how much damage it can inflict in the meanwhile. ABC News reports, Illinois Supreme Court finds assault weapon ban constitutional. Using research and statistics, experts examine America's history with guns. The Illinois Supreme Court found a strict assault weapon ban passed after the Highland Park shooting, which, by the way, was another staged event, to be constitutional in a ruling issued Friday. It came in response to a lawsuit claiming the ban violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The court reversed a lower court finding and said the law does not violate the Equal Protection Clause. However, they did not comment on claims the law also violated the Second Amendment, which is obviously the case. The ruling, which was 4-3, Justice Elizabeth Rochford wrote, "We hold that the exemption neither deny equal protection or constitute special legislation, because plaintiffs, if not sufficiently alleged, they are similarly situated to or treated differently from the exempt classes. Second, plaintiffs expressly waived in the circuit court any independent claim the restrictions impermissibly infringe the Second Amendment. Third, plaintiffs failed to cross appeal as a jurisdictional bar to renewing their three-reading claim. Americans have been buying guns at a record pace for four straight years, partly because of rising crime, but also because people are concerned about Democrats grabbing guns. Americans are right about the Democrats, no matter how things bad get in the country. Due mostly to their policy, they just won't stop trying to enforce more control on law-abiding people." David Hogg, of all people, who was kind of a spokesperson at Parkland, which was another stage event, has tweeted, "Breaking. The Illinois Supreme Court just upheld a state assault weapon ban passed after last summer's mass shooting in Highland Park. This is a significant victory for gun safety and getting semi-automatic rifles off our streets. It's time for Congress to renew the assault weapon ban, write the Democrats. I am determined to ban assault weapons. I did it once before, and I'll do it again. President Joe Biden. Tammy Duckworth. Today, the Illinois Supreme Court rightfully upheld our state's assault weapon ban. We need more common-sense gun safety laws to keep Americans safe, not fewer. It won't work until we pass a nationwide ban to get weapons of war off our streets for good. They won't even enforce laws already on the books, but they want more. Let me add, Americans use guns for defensive purposes to protect themselves from assailant millions of times every year, saving an estimated 200,000 lives per annum. The number of guns from death are actually around 70,000, over half of which are suicides. So we're talking about like an eightfold increase in guns if we take them away from Americans who are simply protecting themselves. The list of guns is quite massive. All semi-automatic, which, by the way, do not qualify as weapons of war because they're semi-automatic, not in fact automatic. Stunning stuff. Scott, your thoughts.
Well, I think the overall push that we see through the false flag setup of the Biden administration assassination to the others, which I presume is going to be Kamala Harris first and or Hunter Biden as well. This is all designed to guilt trip and create a whirlwind of animosity against guns, as if that's going to convince the American patriot, conservative, veteran gun owner to bow down, hide under their desk, and surrender their guns. That's the arrogance and the hubris and the delusion of the left, thinking that if they make enough noise, if they flagellate themselves, if they cut themselves, if they hit themselves on the head, if they defecate in the streets and scream at their top of their lungs, that they're finally going to traumatize the American conservative sufficiently so that he surrenders his gun rights. And in fact, the opposite is true. The more they rant and rave and scream and defecate and act like the lunatic, imbecile animals that they are, the more the conservatives are confirmed in their values and their identity and the absolute necessity of them to have firearms and other weapons to defend them from these demoniacs, because if you surrender your weapons, these demoniacs are going to become full-blown vampires and destroy and burn and kill and loot and do everything. Their dark satanic hearts are being ignited to do. So again, a well-regulated militia being necessary for a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A well-regulated militia means individual citizens coming together, forming teams, and knowing how to maneuver, knowing how to shoot, knowing tactics and discipline and hierarchy and good order. You know this, Jim, from your Marine Corps days. I know it from the Army. A well-regulated militia, one that is very, very key, that knows operations and tactics, being necessary for a free state, because if you don't have those, oppressors and tyrants and lunatics and mobs come in to destroy that freedom. The right of the people, meaning persons, aggregate, individuals, the right of the people, individual persons to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, limited, licensed, registered, or anything else. So this is one of the things I think is going to be refreshed in Americans' minds. It is going to become even more and more ingrained in conservatives, because as the left goes more homicidal and turned into mad dogs, all the rest of us have to adapt and increasingly be on guard, against what I think is coming. And that is a great division with these roving lunatics and civil war potentials. We have to be prepared to deal with them, Jim.
Well, Supreme Court has already ruled that not just military-style weapons are constitutionally protected, but military weapons, which, of course, is just what the Founding Fathers have in mind. They were talking about pretend muskets, They want every American citizen to be armed to constitute a militia in waiting should the occasion arise that the nation's security depended upon them. Military weapons, period. Brian.
Chicago, Seattle, Portland, Baltimore, Washington, D.C. If instead they use the money to arm every citizen, do you think the murder rate would be higher or lower? Well, all studies and experience show that the murder rate goes down when citizens are armed because the criminals are afraid to commit the crimes lest they end up getting killed at the hands of a citizen. This is old 101. Now, that's the Illinois Supreme Court, so they uphold the weapons ban that prevents people from protecting themselves from the thugs and murderers that are out there running the streets, killing students and killing everybody and their brother that goes against their little fiefdom. But the U.S. Supreme Court had a very interesting decision recently related to the ATF that is related to the Chevron Doctrine. The Chevron Doctrine is the idea that if there's no law that's in place passed by the legislature, that the agency that's overseeing, in this case, the ATF, the overseeing the enforcement of the law, gets to basically make their own policies about what is law and what's not. So the Supreme Court comes in and says, no, 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 ATF, you cannot do this, and uphold what's called the Chevron Doctrine, where basically what they're saying is you have to have a law passed by the Congress that's actually an effective law, and the agencies themselves can't make their own rules as they go along. Now, if you think about the far-ending ramifications of that concept, that means the EPA, all their powers going to go away. The ATF, all their powers going to go away. I mean, all these agencies where there's not a real law in place, they're just doing their own burdens on society. They may be rendered moot and useless. And I want to remind you of something. 15% of America's workforce works for the government. 1.5 people out of 10, one out of seven, basically, works for the government in some form or fashion. The burden of too much government. And if you look at what's going on in pop culture with Jason Aldean's song and the new song that popped out the other day, this new country song that everybody's talking about, I'm telling you,
small town.
Not just that one. There's a new one that popped out the other day that's getting all sorts of buzz by a country singer basically talking about the oppression of the worker. It's sort of a wake-up call. I'm telling you that there is, the winds are changing. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming obvious that this government is placing too much of a burden on the citizens and driving too much of the culture. And as the winds change, hopefully we can get some leaders into the appropriate position to peacefully replace the current 50 bazillion pages of laws and regulations that regulate how we live.
Nice. There's more about this in our next story. To wit, the Second Amendment protects weapons of war from the Federalist Society. Biden's victory in the presidential election victory guarantees an effort to outlaw so-called assault weapons. This was published in anticipation. Note the well-established definition of assault rifle includes the ability to switch between semi-automatic and fully automatic, think machine guns. But Congress has applied it to semiotic weapons that look like military. On March 2nd, then-candidate Biden announced that Beto O'Rourke was going to take care of the gun problem with me and lead effort in a Biden admin. O'Rourke famously declared during the 2019 Houston Democrat debate, if it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. In the third debate, he clarified, if someone does not turn in an AR-15 or an AK-47, one of these weapons of war, then that weapon will be taken from them. But the Supreme Court has repeatedly affirmed The core protection of the Second Amendment is the right of law-abiding citizens to possess weapons of war. And that's before three Trump appointees were added to the court. After all, the express purpose of the Second is the security of a free state. In 1939, U.S. versus Miller, the Supreme Court overturned a lower court decision holding that the National Firearms Act, registration of a shotgun with a barrel shorter than 18 inches, violated the Second Amendment. The court declared it is not within the judicial notice that this weapon is any part of the ordinary military equipment or that use can contribute to the common defense. In other words, it was the ownership of military firearms that was the core of the Second Amendment's protection. In other words, in the 2008 D.C. versus Heller, the court decided, we read Miller to say only that the Second Amendment does not protect weapons not typically possessed by law-abiding citizens for lawful purposes. Does the AR-15 even arguably fall into that unprotected category? In recent year, background checks revealed 20% of all firearms sold, including most rifles, are AR-15s or clones. Under Heller, they are clearly protected by the Second Amendment. Millions of gun owners are likely to resist an unconstitutional gun confiscation law. Indeed, nearly 1,000 counties across America have already declared themselves to be Second Amendment sanctuary zones, including at least 60% of those in 10 states. Law enforcement has also declared they will not enforce legislation violating the Second Amendment. In May of 2013, the New York Sheriff's Association joined a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of a state law banning AR-15s in high-capacity magazines. Any effort to confiscate clearly legal firearms pursuant to an unconstitutional statute will likely lead to civil disobedience and probably bloodshed as patriotic citizens resist tyranny, one of the reasons for the Second Amendment. Have we forgotten Ruby Ridge, Idaho, and Waco, Texas? Such a law will also make tens of millions of law-abiding citizens into criminals, at least until the Supreme Court strike it down. Rather than usurping the constitutional rights of millions of law-abiding people, Congress might add a mandatory 10-year prison sentence for using a firearm in the commission of a violent felony. Make it 20 if it's a semi-automatic with a high-capacity magazine. We could also disincentivize many mass shootings if the media did not publicize the name and life stories of the shooters. We know the Columbine shooters and many copycats were motivated by a desire for infamy. Even Columbine, by the way, was fake, using mannequins. People who are determined to violate our most sacred laws against murder are not going to be dissuaded by new parking ordinances, gun-free zone signs, or laws restricting magazine capacity. In 2014, most U.S. counties had zero murders, while most occurred in just 2% of the counties. There's a lot of very complex, often politically sensitive issues at play here. Biden and the new Congress will need to address these realities seriously, along with mental health problems that contribute to mass shootings and the 63% of annual gun deaths resulting from suicide. But confiscating millions of firearms from law-abiding citizens is not going to help. And that 2% of counties, those are run by Democrats, I guarantee it. Worldwide, gun ownership and homicides are inversely related. The more guns, the fewer homicides. Until Canada banned guns, North America was an exemplar, massively high gun ownership, low homicide rate. Other countries like Brazil, low gun ownership, high homicide rate. The pattern replicates itself around the world. Scott, your thoughts.
Well, I think the lesson of the day is the Second Amendment is not going to be infringed. People are sufficiently aware and confident about the need for the Second Amendment, especially as you watch the effect of Democrats ruling Democrat cities. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. And San Francisco and so many of these places have turned into drug-infested walking zombie zones. And if you have a wife or a child or parents, or you need to get out of San Francisco or drive through it or something, the Second Amendment is the only way that you can guarantee essentially the preservation of your life and your property. So I think as time goes and we witness the absolute degradation and demise of everything that the Democrats hold and celebrate, you're only going to have people more and more convicted and will fight to the death before they allow anyone to interfere with their Second Amendment rights. Jim?
If gun laws work, Chicago would be the safest city in America, if not the world. Instead, it has like the highest gun violence rate of any city in the world. Brian?
Not too much to say on this one to keep it brief, but I do remember that there was, I think it was a World War II operation where planes would fly over and put little guns on parachutes and drop them into cities, and the cities then, the citizens would take care of the problem on their own. So, you know, I believe in guns. I think that guns are a great idea. Pretty much everybody around here has one. And you talk about Jason Aldean's song, Don't Try That in a Small Town. Basically, he's implying, hey, we'll kill you. That's sometimes a good thing. You know, there's not always. Look, if somebody's going to threaten my life, which happened just the other day, the only reason I had a shotgun put in my face during a surveillance operation, and I pulled out my Kel-Tec PK-30, and I was like, dude, you sure you want to play this game? He didn't. I did not press charges. I could have, and I should have, but you can have a gun. It's got to be used correctly. Don't brandish unless you feel like you need to, and don't point it at anybody unless you intend to be willing to pull the trigger under the right circumstances.
Yeah, the fear is there going to be some incident that is going to allow the government to declare a national emergency and attempt to seize guns. I think that's when all hell is going to break loose. Don, take us out.
Okay, wow. What a show today. I tell you, it's been something else. This is the Truth Versus News here. On August 13th, 2023, and what a show this is. I'm going to make it into three parts, I think, because we got so much to offer, and everybody's got to see it and share what they think is important to them. But this was awesome. I think we can't get any better than this, except if the stories would be milder. But I think we have some awful things we have to share, and you need to do it, okay? So thanks so much for watching. Hope to see you next week.